Hi, this is Mac from Mac's List. Before we start the show, I want to let you know about my new book, Land Your Dream Job Anywhere. I've been helping job seekers find meaningful, well-paying work since 2001, and now I put all my best advice into one easy-to-use guide. My book shows you how to make your resume stand out in a stack of applications, where you can find the hidden jobs that never get posted, and what you need to do to ace your next job interview. Get the first chapter now for free. Visit maxlist.org/anywhere. This is Find Your Dream Job, the podcast that helps you get hired, have the career you want, and make a difference in life. I'm Mac Pritchard, your host and publisher of Max List. I'm joined by my co-hosts, Ben Forstag, Becky Thomas, and Jessica Black, all from the Max List team. This week, we're talking about how to discover the right career for you. We all know that no job lasts forever, and neither do careers. In today's economy, you'll change jobs many times, and you'll change professions too. This week's guest expert is career coach Kylie Butler. She says it's up to us to find the right career and know how to do it. Kylie and I talk later in the show. Job shadows offer one way to see if we might like a new career, and Ben Forstag has found a website that explains how job shadows work. He tells us more in a moment. How do you know if a prospective employer and you share similar values, especially about politics? That's our question of the week. It comes from Marissa Nolan Lane in Tigard, Oregon. Becky gives her advice in a moment. As always, let's check in with the Max List team. You know, we're all in different points in our work lives. I actually have 35 plus years experience in different offices, and some of you have considerably less, but we've all had more than one career, I think. Am I getting that right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm curious, when you chose that first career, how did you do that?
I wouldn't say I chose it as much as I kind of stumbled into it. And I think that's normal for a lot of people. When I graduated from college, I didn't really have a vision or an idea of what I wanted to do. And so I embraced the, like, I'm going to try things, and if I like it, I'll keep doing it. If I don't like it, I can move on and try something else. And so my first career was, I'm not even sure if this was a career. I worked at a summer camp, and I did that year round, which is an oxymoron, I guess. But then I kind of stumbled into nonprofit management. Different parts of it I liked, other parts I didn't like. And so over the course of the next 5 to 10 years, I kind of tried to maximize the things I liked more, which was kind of more of the communications piece, and minimize the pieces I liked less, namely fundraising.
Okay, and I do want to add, Ben, because people might, you're being very modest here. You said you worked at a summer camp and did it year round, but that job actually took you to Europe, and you were working for an international organization involved in summer camps.
Yeah, I started right out of college going back to my summer camp that I went to as a kid and teenager. But over time, my place at the camp kind of moved up the hierarchy, and eventually I actually transferred to a YMCA in Spain and worked there for a couple of years.
Yeah, living in Madrid is kind of a big deal. So it was a career that took you far.
But I was in a tent and, you know, cooking over a campfire.
I don't think you were living in a tent in Madrid. But how about you, Becky? Talk about your first career and how you chose it.
How I chose it. That's a good question. Because I feel like a lot of times I had a very, very sort of normal experience as like a high school senior and trying to figure out what to study in college. It was just sort of like, I don't know, like I'm just going to do what I'm good at and what I like. And that was just like reading and writing. So I was an English major, which is like the least sort of practical degree ever.
And I don't think so.
No?
I think there's less practical.
Okay, yeah. But it's like,
do you have a nominee?
Philosophy or,
yeah, that's
linguistics?
True. Yeah.
I mean, no offense to those.
No,
I took
for
both
sure.
of those classes and I loved them. But yeah. There's not a lot of things you can do unless you want to be a professor.
Right. And that's sort of what I was thinking in college. I was like, I don't think I want to teach. And so I ended up majoring in journalism and became a newspaper reporter because I was a good writer and I liked asking people questions. And that's what I ended up doing.
What about you, Jessica?
Yeah, I had similar journeys to both Ben and Becky. I think I've talked about it on the podcast a little bit before, but I didn't really know what I was wanting to do, what sort of the end goal was, and I always sort of stressed myself out a little bit trying to look, 25 to 50 years in the future of like, what do I want to do for the rest of my life? And I finally was just like, I'm just going to do some things that I like to do right now and explore my options and kind of get an understanding of what I like and what I don't like in those firsthand experiences rather than trying to decide what the career was before I started it. So I did a lot of different things. I got involved in a lot of smaller organizations, a lot of startup organizations, a lot of nonprofits. I'm a very mission-driven person, so I've always gravitated towards work that is fulfilling and speaks to what I enjoy and that kind of gives back and all that stuff. So it was always around that, but it was a wide variety of lots of different things that I was able to discover through all of those jobs what kind of work I really enjoyed out of that and what I maybe didn't enjoy as much, but I still learned a lot.
I think your openness to new experiences and experimentation has really served you well. And
it has. Yeah.
And yeah. I think that also just makes for many more interesting careers down the road.
Yeah. And, just gathering knowledge, and you never know when you're going to want to use something. So it's been good for me. I like it.
Yeah. Growing up in Eastern Iowa, we had the presidential caucuses. I just fell in love with politics, even in grade school. And there was a movie I saw when I was in seventh grade called The Candidate about someone running for office in California in the early 70s. And I sat through it twice. Mm-hmm. I was so taken with it. And my first job out of college was, watching that movie. I thought, gosh, I want to do that. And my first job out of college was working on a U.S. Senate race. And then later when I went to graduate school to study government, I took a class called To Be a Politician, and the first assignment they gave us was watching that movie. And
cool.
I thought, I'm in the right place.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah. But it's, I think it was following your, knowing what you're enthusiastic about and energetic about or being open to new experiences are all great ways to get clear about what's the right career for you.
Yeah.
And I know Kylie and I are going to talk more about that later.
That's good.
Good. Well, Ben, let's turn to you because you're always out there looking for resources our listeners can use. And what have you found for us this week?
So this week I want to talk about a resource called jobshadow.com. But first, let me digress a little bit here. So when you go to the ice cream store, they let you try all the samples you want before you buy the ice cream cone.
Oh, yeah.
And when you go to buy a car, they let you test drive the car and drive it around on the highway and the back streets before you buy the car. And when you're looking for a spouse, most people go on a bunch of dates, figure out if they like the person before they get married. But for some reason, when it comes to our careers, we're supposed to know well ahead of time, before we've ever tried it, before we've even really learned that much about the career, what exactly we want to be doing with our lives. And that's true for students in college. That's true for people who are looking to make a transition. And it seems really weird to me that it's really hard to try it before you buy it when it comes to your career.
I think that's generally true, though. Internships do give students a chance to understand what an office might be like or a company.
Sure. I think if you're a student, it's much easier to do an internship. If you're someone who has to have money coming in and pay bills, an internship, particularly an unpaid one, is a really difficult thing to manage. And that's why I like the resource this week, which is jobshadow.com. Now, job shadowing is essentially, it's like an internship where you're not really doing the work as much as you're just observing the work that's going on. So you might have heard of people, shadowing police officers where they sit in the police vehicle overnight and while the police do their thing. But there's a whole range of opportunities out there. So I was looking this week through the internet and, I typed in job shadowing and there's a bunch of results for young people, but very few things for people who are established professionals, you know, job shadowing programs. But what I did come across is this website, jobshadow.com. And what it is this guy has put together interviews with like 500 different professionals from different careers. And they talk openly and honestly about their careers, what they like, what they don't like, how much they make, what it took to get there, how competitive it is, how much education they needed. And I thought it was a really nice insight into all the different opportunities out there. Now, this is not the equivalent of sitting in a police car while the cops are driving around, but it does kind of give you this inside perspective there. And there's a lot of these, I don't know what you would call them, you know, professional reports or inside perspectives there, from like clinical chemists to nurse midwives to geophysicists. He even has a U.S. senator who filled out this survey to talk about what it's like to be a U.S. senator. It's not nearly as fun as it looks like from the outside.
A lot of fundraising calls.
A lot of fundraising calls. So I encourage you to check out jobshadow.com. It's a really interesting resource. And if you've got an inkling that, hey, maybe I want to be a U.S. senator, you can go and read what that's all about.
Or a geophysicist.
Really, or an astrophysicist. I mean, there's like the list keeps going and going and going. They also have an interesting aptitude test you can take that, you know, online tests, take them for what they are, but they...
I love them. That's so fun. I'm going to take it just for that.
Okay. Jessica can come back and give us her report on this.
I will.
But the aptitude test kind of steers you towards what kind of general type of career you might enjoy. But again, this is the nice way to kind of test the ice cream before you buy it. The URL is jobshadow.com. And as always, the URL will be in the show notes.
Yeah. Great tip. And coincidentally, I think it was a month ago, we had somebody who actually job shadowed us here at the podcast. You set that up, Jessica. There was a lady
who did. Yeah. Anna.
Yeah.
She's starting her own podcast here pretty soon. So
yeah.
Yeah. She came in and saw how, like Ben likes to say, how the sausage is made. But I don't like that term.
Yeah. And she's still moving ahead with her show.
Yeah.
That's encouraging.
I think it's coming out, launching like June 1st or something, right?
Yeah. It's coming up. Well, great. Well, thank you. Thank you, Ben. And if you've got a suggestion for Ben, please write him and we may share your idea on the show. His address is easy to remember. It's ben@maxlist.org. Now let's turn to Becky, who has a listener question for us. What's in the mailbag this week, Becky?
We've got an interesting one this week. It comes from Marissa Nolan Lane in Tigard, Oregon.
Hi, my name is Marissa Nolan Lane and from Tigard, Oregon. I'm calling to ask, in the current political climate, working for a company whose values align with mine is becoming more and more important. What are some of the best ways to find where a company and its leadership stand on issues that are important to me?
Okay, so this is an interesting question. It's pretty timely. I think people are talking about it quite a bit as far as what the company's politics and values might be, and if they align with yours. A lot of people want to work for a company that is aligned with how they personally feel. I think the first place to start would be just sort of like researching the company itself. Check out their sort of mission and values pages on their website. Any sort of inside information as far as like what they post on LinkedIn and Googling them and seeing what comes up. As far as like more formal sort of political research, you can also sort of dig in online. The internet is full of info. And a lot of this is publicly available. So, like, if you're looking for, like, political, like, election activity, like, did they donate to this candidate that I don't agree with? There's the FEC, Federal Elections Commission, has a disclosure page. If you go to fec.gov and search disclosure data, you can search individual people, which is pretty interesting. That can be a way for you to find out if, like, the leaders of that company are donating and sort of where their leanings are. Open Secrets has a donor lookup as well. And as far as like individual issues that you really care about, another way to find out could be like if you're supporting an organization that aligns with your values, they might typically like call out companies who support them, sometimes like blast companies who go after them or who are trying to hurt their mission. So that could be something to look up as well. But yeah, just sort of put on your investigator hat and see what you can find. It's pretty interesting stuff. Do you guys have any other thoughts on that? political sort of affiliations?
I think all the things you listed there are right on. I think you just need to be cognizant of how far down the rabbit hole you want to go with this. So there's the organizations kind of have a political life of their own, of what they kind of do internally and what the company might give to candidates or causes. That's usually easy to find. You know, if there's a hiring manager or your supervisor, or the owner of the company, you know, they might be have their own kind of political activities. If you want to dig into that, you need to figure out what you're comfortable with in terms of, you know, what level of causality or relationship do you want to have. Or, you know, how close is your employment line with what someone else is doing after hours with their politics? But
right, yeah, I was thinking about that too, that the company and the individual values might not align.
Exactly. And so, but no, I think this is a classic research project.
Yeah, I would also say I love those tips because I love research and I love data.
Yeah, me too.
And I would add too, though, that I've had candidates for jobs at my companies that I've found through Google searches supported parties or causes that I didn't personally agree with, but it wasn't an issue because there was a separation between what they did outside the office and the values that, and what they did at work. And so I like your point, Becky, that you can find out that leaders might be contributing to candidates or organizations that you don't agree with, but also pay attention to the company culture because how people behave in the workplace is what matters in the end and what kind of culture they create.
Right, totally. I've worked at places that, like, there's been a lot of people with different political leanings than me, but it just maybe didn't come up, or the workplace was very sort of, this is about work here, you know, this is about the company, and we're not bringing any sort of personal politics into it. But some companies aren't like that, so
agreed.
Something to watch out for.
Yeah, and the more you know about the company culture, the more you'll be able to tell which camp the company falls into.
Yeah, I mean, like, privately owned businesses, not often, but sometimes, you know, the ownership come with a very particular political or social view about things and really try to encourage or force employees to feel the same way.
Yeah.
And so that's something you need to be cognizant of.
Yeah. Any thoughts, Jessica?
Nothing beyond what you guys have said. I really liked all of your comments about, you know, doing your research. The only other thing that could potentially, and I don't know how easy it would be, but you know, talking to people, if you have contacts within the culture or the company, I mean, and maybe even an informational interview type of a style to be able to, and obviously you'd have to be very tactful about that informational interview of what kind of information you're looking for. But just, it might be helpful other than just, you know, doing your research and doing all of that.
And if I could just flip this on its head, you know, nowadays with everyone having a social media presence, probably if you've got strong political beliefs as a candidate, those are going to show up somewhere in your social media footprint. And if the employer has opposite very strong political beliefs, you know, in the vetting process when they're going through candidates, they may well exceed that and just kind of weed you out on their own. So the likelihood that you're going to end up in, you know, an environment that's completely antithetical to everything you believe, I think, is getting smaller over time.
Yeah, but it's still hard, you know, even if the employer weeds you out, but then you don't know and you still think you're still operating under this assumption that that's a perfect job for you. That's really difficult, you know, and to be able to still do your research to find that answer is beneficial, at least for your peace of mind.
Great. Well, great conversation. And a great question. Thank you, Marissa, for sending it in. Thanks, Becky. And if you've got a question for Becky, please email her. Her email address is becky@maxlist.org. Or call the listener line. That number is area code 716-JOB-TALK. That's 716-562-8255. If we use your question on the show, we'll send you a copy of Land Your Dream Job Anywhere, our new book. And Marissa's copy is going in the mail this week. We'll be back in a moment, and when we return, I'll talk with this week's guest expert, Kylie Butler. about how to discover the right career for you. Most people struggle with job hunting. The reason is simple. Most of us learn the nuts and bolts of looking for work by trial and error. That's why I produce this podcast, to help you master the skills you need to find a great job. It's also why I wrote my new book, Land Your Dream Job Anywhere. For 15 years at MaxList, I've helped people in Portland, Oregon find meaningful, well-paying, and rewarding jobs that they love. Now I put all of my job hunting secrets in one book that can help you no matter where you live. You'll learn how to get clear about your career goals, find hidden jobs that never get posted, and ace your next job interview. For more information and to download the first chapter for free, visit maxlist.org/anywhere. Now let's turn to this week's guest expert, Kylie Butler. Kylie Butler is a career coach, speaker, and the owner of Inspired Careers. Her company helps people with smart job searching strategies, LinkedIn profiles, and career planning. Before starting Inspired Careers, Kylie worked in leadership positions in human resources for companies in Rome, London, and Dublin. She joins us today from Sydney, Australia. Kylie, thanks for coming on the show.
Oh, thanks for having me on the show. It's such a pleasure.
Yeah, and I know it's early for you, so thanks. Thanks for starting your day with us. Our topic, Kylie, is how to choose the right career. And this is a choice most of us are going to make a number of times in our working life, isn't it?
It is. And it's a big one because we used to talk about kind of work-life balance, and now we talk more about work-life blend. The two are so integrated, so it's such an important decision to make. Yeah, not one you want to take flippantly.
So whether you're a new graduate or you're in mid-career, how do you get started, Kylie, and what's the first step when you want to choose your next career or your new one?
The first step really is all about understanding yourself. And this is a piece that a lot of people skip, and that, you know, that is the reason in itself that they sometimes struggle with finding that first job, the career choice, or the next job, or, you know, the next career choice later in life. So the first piece really is around understanding who you are, you know, not just what are your passions and purpose, but also really understanding kind of yourself from a psychometric perspective. And understanding the way that you work, your mind, your beliefs, and really the truth about who you are.
What process do you see people go through to get that understanding? Are there self-assessment tools they use? Are there exercises you see people follow that get good results?
Yeah, that's a really good question. You raised a good point. The assessment tools is a key piece that often people come across assessment tools in a corporate working environment when they're looking at how teams function, et cetera. But not enough people use them in this key area of actually making that choice about the next job or the next career. So I'd say there's assessment tools. So there's the Myers-Briggs DISC profiling. There's a few online, you know, inexpensive online tools that you can use yourself. So the tools are a really, really good one. It's really good also just to take some time out to understand, you know, really what, not just your purpose, because that's a really big question, a really big one to ask yourself. And often people think to answer that question, they need to go and, you know, quit their job, sell all the savings and go to India. But what actually lights you up every day? What do you enjoy doing? Asking yourself those questions are really important. And also asking yourself some other hard questions around, okay, so what do you believe? But also, what are your limiting beliefs? So often we're held back by the fact that we don't believe fundamentally we're good enough, smart enough, or even pretty enough is an unfortunate one for many females. But we often don't think that we have the capability, and people aim lower often than they should. So understanding yourself comes back down to doing some really smart psych tests, doing some really strong profiling on yourself, either with a coach or just taking some time out to ask yourself the big questions about what drives you and what's really important to you, understanding what your core competencies and skills are, and also understanding if you think anything's been holding you back so far.
So that's a very thorough process. I can imagine our listeners thinking, gosh, that sounds overwhelming. How do I do that? I want to change careers now or get started. Can you break that down into practical steps for people so that who might be wondering what to do first and then next and perhaps after that?
Absolutely. So I'd say, firstly, take some time out. So set yourself in your diary to ask yourself your own personality profiling type questions. So in those questions, you can ask yourself, what do I really enjoy? When am I in flow? What were my unique gifts as a child? So just those things about really what excites you about the type of work that you do. So that's one. So just take some time out and ask yourself those questions about what really drives you, what really motivates you. That would be step number one. Step number two would be doing the assessment test. So DISCS or Myers Profile, you can easily do a Google and search and find those. Have a look at your CV and look at your skills and experience. This could be helpful to do with a partner or a mentor or somebody that you really, really respect and really highlight, okay, what are the things that I've been good at in my career so far? And then also you're going to then look at, again, that you could do this with a coach, with a confidant, with a friend. Look at what you believe around any level of fear and or excuses that you've been asking yourself, anything there that may have been holding you back from making a change. If you know yourself that you really want to get a new job and or even a whole new career, what's been stopping you so far?
And in your experience, Kylie, when people finish those steps, and I appreciate you breaking them down to such practical phases, what happens next? Does that do they then start thinking about applying for positions? What is the next step in that process?
The next thing before you actually leap in and start, you know, getting on the job boards on Monster, I'm just trying to think what are all the US job boards here. But before you do this, and again, this is a piece that people often skip. So they go, I want a job, and they just throw themselves out there, start, you know, they get on the job boards, they start talking to recruiters, but they really need to kind of pedal back a bit, do the piece that we just talked about in terms of understanding themselves. And then secondly, the piece that before they get really active is they need to develop the right mindset. And that is a success mindset. You know, it really is like training for any kind of big sporting event and something that can't be skipped over. Because if you go out into the job market without doing this preparation, you'll often find that the process itself will be longer, more arduous, and you might not find the right job or certainly find it in a timely manner. So what I really recommend is that people take the time to understand and really train their mind for success, just like you would do for any kind of sporting event, you know, big gig, you know, public speech, anything. You're going to do a little bit of mental preparation. So in doing that mental preparation, there are a few key tools that you can use. Now, there is visualization is a really powerful one. You will not find an Olympic athlete who does not visualize, and that's all about conjuring up in your mind what it's going to look like in your when you're successful in landing the job that you like, and really tricking your body into feeling that amazing feeling like you've already got there. So what that involves is ideally in the early morning or late evening, so either when you can kind of tap into your subconscious more, imagining a situation where you're successful. So shaking the hand of the interviewer or signing your contract, that is a very, very powerful mental tool. Affirmations are also really, really good in just really making yourself feel a lot more confident. Meditation can help you be a lot calmer and more composed. And the other thing that a lot of people skip over is to keep your levels of motivation up. Make sure that you are around people that energize and inspire you. To quote Jim Rohn, we are the average of the five people we spend the most time with. So if you stay around people, stay in that great mindset, and being really positive, really believing in yourself, that's going to absolutely bear fruit.
Excellent advice. And I know, Kylie, you also think it's important to pay attention to local labor markets when you're considering a new career. Tell us more about that.
Absolutely. So once you've got that mental, so first you've done the piece, you understand who you are, you understand your strengths, your weaknesses, you're ready to, you've done the mental prep, you know, you're all primed and ready to go. Then do some good solid research. Now, there are a few really great tools here that are very easily accessible. One is obviously, the internet. So have a look at, industry trends, what's happening in the space that you want to be working with, globally, what's happening in the industry, if you know specifically what industry you want to be working in. Recruiters are also a really great resource. So employment agencies, recruiters, really good. They're very tapped into the specific niches if you're really clear on what space you want to be working in. LinkedIn, an incredibly, incredibly valuable tool, not only for, applying for jobs and promoting your personal brand, but also in getting an understanding of who's doing what in that space. And also a really good tip is to look at the top 100 employers. So every different country is going to have their different listing of the employers of choice in any the location that you want to work it with, because they're going to be the employers that have the strongest leadership, learning and development programs, really the great organizations with all the perks that you're going to want to work for.
Yeah, that's a terrific suggestion. Here in the United States, often there are local business magazines or newspapers that will contain lists of the 100 best employers to work with or the 100 most green employers. And it can trigger a lot of ideas and help you with research when you look at lists like that.
Absolutely. And there's also the niche. There's the, you raised a really good point, the industry magazines. And for every publication is generally some kind of niche website for most industries. For example, many years ago when I was recruiting for engineers, we used to look at all the engineering websites, and they've got little job boards on them. That people just wouldn't even think to look at. They just go to the big job boards. But, it's really good to share the love around and look at both the niche and the larger job boards. And also the other really big piece is don't be necessarily just so it's great to be kind of proactive and looking and searching for those jobs, but also get your LinkedIn profile happening so that people can also find you.
Well, terrific. Well, thank you, Kylie. Now, tell us what's coming up next for you.
For me, so I've got online programs that help people with the very tactical aspects of what we discussed in terms of getting themselves ready for a job or a career change. And I also have a LinkedIn profile writing site. So for anyone who's interested, it's really as simple as going to my website where you can subscribe. And I give out a whole bunch of free job searching resources. I love to share the knowledge that I've gained over the years with people. And there's, obviously no obligation to buy anything, but a bunch of whole free resources there. And you'll also find information about the online courses and LinkedIn profile writing.
Great. We'll be sure to include links to your website in the show notes. And for listeners, you can find Kylie's website at inspiredcareerscoaching.com.au. Kylie, thanks for being on the show today.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Take care. All right, we're back in the MaxList studio. I'm curious, what were your thoughts about my conversation with Kylie? Becky?
I liked it. I thought what she was saying about assessing yourself and really spending some time understanding what you enjoy, what puts you in flow. I think there's a lot of value to sort of being aware of yourself throughout the day at your current job or whatever it is, to sort of think about, when am I, annoyed? When am I happy? When am I just focused and the time is flying by? I think that gives you a lot to work with as far as where you want to move within your career and sort of what direction you want to take. I think it's super helpful. It's been helpful for me.
I agree. That's always been my method of kind of figuring out what's right, in all of the different types of taking on new jobs and just trying a bunch of things to see what works. That's really been the crucial part of it, is kind of seeing how I react to it, my energy levels and my fulfillment levels and all of that stuff, which I guess now is the trendy thing to call it flow. But
yeah. There's a lot of that. But I mean, yeah, it really is just like, how am I feeling in this current moment?
No, and what you want to find the things that energize you.
Yeah, and if you're like really rocking it and doing awesome, or if you're just sort of like trying to get through it, and it not in, your specialty kind of thing. Yeah.
Yeah, totally. I agree.
I liked her point about limiting beliefs and really figuring out what your own limiting beliefs are, because we don't know what we don't know, and we don't know what we don't allow ourselves to know. And, you know, I think this is true for everyone, that we've got like our own biases that, you know, I can't do this because I'm not good enough, I'm not smart enough, people don't like me, I don't have the right education or the right experience. But in my experience, just about everyone has those feelings. Everyone's got imposter syndrome, right?
And it's so, true.
Like, it is true.
Trying to get past that, and I think that opens up a whole lot more space to figure out the things that you actually want to be doing, not the things that you're talking yourself out of doing.
Yeah, I think, and we've talked about this before, how informational interviews allow you to take those limiting beliefs and turn them into positive questions and ask people for advice about how to overcome those objections or how they've seen other people do it. When you do that, you get great insights in how you can approach employers, but it also helps you overcome imposter syndrome. And it is something that I think everybody suffers from, even the most successful people.
Everyone except sociopaths have imposter syndrome.
I think you're probably right there. And I really, Becky and Jessica, second your point about the importance of flow. I think everybody in this room and people who are listening can think about times when they've been doing work and they've just felt like they were born to do this, or they've been training for this moment, and all the experiences they've had have helped them perform at a peak level. And
yeah, it's a great feeling, and that's like what you search for, you know?
Yeah, and I think Kylie's point is you don't have to rely on happenstance or chance for that to happen. You can use assessment tools and conversations with mentors and coaches and people who know us well to identify those opportunities and seek them out and prepare for them.
Yeah, and I think that's those are great ways to really find what does work for you, because having an outside perspective is often really helpful when you get in all in your head. It sometimes gets a little cloudy and you're not really sure what steps to take, but having somebody else sort of say, you know, asking what do I do well or those types of things is really beneficial.
Yeah, we can indeed be our own worst enemies.
It's true.
Well, thank you for a great conversation. And thank you, Kylie, for many good insights as well. And thank you, our listeners, for joining us for today's episode of Find Your Dream Job. Now, if you like what you hear, sign up for our free weekly newsletter. In every issue, you get the key points of that week's show. We also include links to all the resources mentioned, and you'll get a transcript of the full episode. If you subscribe to the newsletter now, we'll send you our job seeker checklist, and in one easy-to-use file, you get all the steps you need to take to find a great job. Get your free newsletter and your checklist today. Go to maxlist.org/podcast. And join us next Wednesday when our special guest will be Jacob Scher. He'll share with us his best job search strategies for older workers. Until next time, thanks for letting us help you find your dream job.